Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, March 6th, March 6th, 2023, and we're going to be talking about intelligence, artificial intelligence. Last week I was talking about the three levels of knowledge, ignorant, dumb, and stupid. We're going to go a little bit further tonight and talk about what intelligence and artificial intelligence is. But before we go there, let's go ahead and get started with the American Creed. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed. Notice that, consent of the governed. Derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Words that we should be living by. And I'd be curious, next time you're writing your representative or your senator, state, federal, whatever, ask them if they know the American Creed. Ask them what they think about it. See, I'd be kind of curious. Curious to see if they know it. But anyway, because I'm going to guess probably most of them don't. Most of them don't know it. Tonight, again, we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence and what it's doing to us. And it's all starting to come together really fast. It's been out there little by little, and we'll get into some of that. But before we go there, let's talk about a few other things that have been going on. First off, some upcoming shows. Next week, we're going to have Rosie the Rebel. She's going to be on, and she is from California. I've seen some of the videos of the school board meeting she's been to, and yes, she's a rebel rouser out there. She goes and tells them a few things they don't want to hear. So we're going to have her on, and we're going to see that, yes, some people in California actually do believe in the Constitution, do believe in parents' rights and things like that. So that should be a very good show. We'll have that next week. Then the following week, I'm planning on doing the elections. We're going to talk major stuff about what's going on with the elections. And I'm going to do a fair amount of discussion about what's happening right here in Florida because the opportunity, there's this, if the Republicans had a brain, which talk about ignorant, dumb, and stupid, the way the Republican Party has mismanaged things and allowed it to be taken over by the Democrats and become the uniparty, we have to change the process, and Trump talked a little bit about that at CPAC. But we have to change the process of what's going on with these elections. We're going to have to fight fire with fire. But we also have to realize that today, you know, they push so much for the parties. And we've got to get past that. We have to have the open primaries, and I know there's going to be those out there screaming, no, you can't do that, no. Well, it's not open primaries in the typical sense, and I'll explain that on that night. Because right now, nationwide, there's almost half the people, 45%, and I believe it's over that in Florida, and I know Nathan's talked about this some, almost half the people do not want to be a party associated with either one of these two main parties. If you take the no party affiliates and then the third party, you've got over half the people. So you've disenfranchised all these people from the vote, all because you let two private entities, the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, control the elections. So I'm going to talk about a plan that we should put out there to change that so that everybody gets to participate in the elections. Doesn't that sound fair? And we talk a lot about fairness and about election crime and things like that right now, election fraud, whatever else, and yet we've totally manipulated. We've allowed two parties to totally manipulate these elections. So we'll be talking about that in 2 weeks. Then after that, following that, the information about the Nuremberg Code and the Nuremberg trials, so much is coming out right now about COVID. I mean, the stuff that we were talking about in 2020, we were talking about all this stuff back then. Most of us who were engaged in any of the political process saw what was going on, saw this was a scam, saw it was when, you know, the depopulation of Bill Gates, things like that that we were very suspicious of. And, of course, we weren't allowed to say it out loud because we would be conspiracy theorists or whatever else, nutcases. And then right around that same time, these different doctors are saying, wait a minute, use this, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. These will help. These will help. And they said, no, you can't do that. And all the insanity of it all. And this is why it has to be. There has to be the Nuremberg trials, because this really was a crime against humanity. And they experimented on many people with something they didn't know what was going to do, and they've killed many, many people, millions. So we have to have that. That has to happen. So we'll have that on in 3 weeks, 3 weeks out. And let's see. That's where I'll stop on that part for now. We'll see what comes on after that, but... Excuse me. The other thing, this just happened. I'm sure many of you saw it on the news. It was replayed multiple times. This president who claims to care about people, I mean, the guy, he was always a weirdo, a nutcase, a pedophile, a pervert, whatever, but it's only gotten worse. But this lady is talking about her two kids who died because of fentanyl coming over the border illegal, because of all this illegal immigration and the no control at the border and everything else, and, of course, no law enforcement. And Biden has the nerve. I mean, is the guy really even this brain dead at this point to go out there and say, well, that wasn't my fault. That was the last president who did that to you, and chuckles about it. That wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was the last guy. That was the last administration. Can you imagine saying that to somebody? And this is a guy who talks about the fact his one son died in, well, he says he died in a lot of different ways, but he died of cancer, but he said he died in the war, but whatever. This is a very sick person. This guy did this. Just disgusting. And I don't know that we'll get into it tonight, but a little bit of information about how these cartels are controlling this border the way they are, how they control certain governors like in Arizona and Hobbs and all this stuff, how much, if they don't go along, how much they stand to lose, how much they profit from promoting and allowing this kind of evilness to go on. And anybody who profits from evilness that kills people and harms people and does all this stuff, you're going to rot, you know? There's going to come a day when there's room in heaven, and I think we're there. And these people aren't going to go there. But can you just imagine, this is people elected and sworn to serve and protect who are killing us. They're the ones destroying us. The enemies from within. Lincoln said it, the enemies from within. So it's just really disgusting. So I don't know, we'll get too much into that tonight, but just keep that in mind. And we'll talk more probably about that when we talk about the elections. Then there was CPAC this weekend. I'm sure some of you watched some of that, and I watched the Trump. I watched some of it, bits and pieces, didn't watch the whole thing. But I did watch, of course, Trump was out there. And Trump, he is changing a little bit of his demeanor and his approach, which is really good. He needs to, what do you want to call it? Not to change his personality, but to change the delivery of some of his messages. If you want to alienate people, then, you know, say all these silly things and call people names and be a bully and whatever else, if, in fact, you want to alienate people. But if you're trying to bring people in who all believe very much in the same thing, like securing the border and, like, and stopping the insanity of the Chinese takeover of our country, which most people agree with, don't, you know, stop the name calling and stuff, because it just takes away from your message. Do you want people to talk about the fact you called the Santos, the Sanctus, or whatever? Is that what you want them to talk about? Do you want them to talk about the fact you care about our country? These are the things we have to do to save our country. The Santos isn't that part of it. The only thing I would say now, I guess it was Mike Lindell who spoke at CPAC as well. He said something about DeSantis is the Trojan horse for the Dems. So what DeSantis is doing, which we've talked about here, is only helping to destroy any opportunity for the Republicans if he continues on. And we'll talk a little bit about that, too, on the election show, because when the legislature is over for this time this year in Florida, that's going to be that's going to determine whether DeSantis, if he runs for office, he has to resign as the governor. I haven't seen the vote out there. I can't tell you that they actually – I have not looked. But it was out there for Governor DeSantis to run for the presidency. He would have to resign from the governorship. You cannot do both. Now, if they go and change the law back, because this was changed a few years back, now if they flip-flop and go back, they might be, they if they do this to say, well, we're going to repeal that law and say, no, you can run while you're the governor. If they do that, they're only going to lose credibility, and DeSantis is going to lose more votes. It's not going to help him any. And it's definitely not going to help our country. It really isn't. So I'm hoping those who are out there who either talk to DeSantis or talk to Trump, would you tell these two guys to get along? You know, and I was talking over the weekend and to some people, and it's like DeSantis, as a leader of the states, a leading governor of the states, in many respects, he has more control, more influence right now than what the president does. I guess that's why he went out to California, right? And went to Iowa, right? But the point is, he has such an opportunity to influence what happens at the state level. He's going to blow it if he worries about running for the presidency right now. He should be out there trying to support Trump. And at the same time, Trump should be recruiting DeSantis to be his force in the field. I mean, if these two people would come together and realize that they could both do so much better together than fighting each other is only going to harm us all. And there is a perfect situation to have Trump in there as the president and for DeSantis to be out there in the fields at the governor level, the states, telling people what we need to do at the state level. And it's happening. Look, many states, Florida was one of the first. I don't know if it was the first, but one of the first on the ESG stuff. Another state has gone out there. I'm trying to remember what state it was. Another state just within the last few days passed legislation to block ESG. We need these people at the state level. So if you talk to anybody with the DeSantis campaign, would you tell him this? And, I mean, I've sent stuff in the past, and I'll send it again. And the same with the Trump side. Trump, and, you know, Trump, even if DeSantis decides to run, it should be your philosophy or strategy or belief. I would much rather have DeSantis be in a governor working with me so we could get the states all back in line too, because the role of the states is critical, and DeSantis knows how to run a state to give the states, the people, the rights at the state level like they're supposed to. That message would go so far if Trump would say that, even if DeSantis runs. If he says DeSantis, if DeSantis is out there running and they're both out there on the debate stage, say, well, DeSantis has done a great job with governing. I would wish he would stay there and help me. As a president, I need strong governors. But he has to do what he thinks is right. I disagree with his choice to do this. I think we could work better together as a team. That would be the message. And if anybody thinks that what I'm saying is crazy, feel free to chime in. Let me know that you think, whoa, that's nuts. You wouldn't do that. Because I think that's the perfect scenario. You got to have the governors, too. The president, as we all know, the president alone can't do it. A president that has McConnell and company and these evildoers right there stabbing in the back every which way in D.C., you know what happens then. So that was part of his message on at the CPAC saying he learned a lot. He never realized how bad it was, but now he knows who his friends are, kind of thing. He was going into how it will be a different game this time. He learned a lot of lessons. And what was the other thing he was saying? Let's see. He was saying out there, obviously, what we have to do in the most basic hit, but he was very to the point of we have to stop China. We have to decouple from China. I think that was what we were. Decouple from China. We cannot be dependent on China for all this stuff. And I'll tell you, everybody out there, it's very difficult to not buy anything made in China, but China has saved me a lot of money. Because it's like, oh, that's kind of cute. Oh, man, do I want this? Made in China. Nah, I'll skip it. I don't need it. If I don't need it, don't really have to get it, and it's made in China stuff, then I pass on it. So I don't need it. I'm not gonna go there. I'm going to do what I can. Because right now, people don't really truly appreciate what happens to the Chinese economy if they don't have us. Where do they get most of their money from us? And the same goes into shutting down these places here that China is taking control. And I believe he even said something to that effect, but I can't remember word for word on that one. But it was a very, very powerful speech. The only other thing I would say to Trump when it comes to his presentation, which he didn't say a whole lot about COVID. He just said what happened with COVID, but he didn't really say, he didn't talk about warp speed or any of that insanity, which finally someone got him to stop talking about that. But the part would be our country was progressing so nicely. We were becoming more and more independent. We were being what America's made to be. We were on such a path. But you should see, after what has happened with just 2 years, two plus years, of a Marxist, which he is saying Marxism now. Finally, people are saying communism and Marxism. Marxist takeover of this country, you can see how quickly we can be destroyed. We cannot let these people continue on. We have to stop it. So he needs to be saying that versus saying, repeating the things over and over again. You know, he wants to give a report card. Here's the areas of success, border, secured border, and energy independence, and this and that, whatever. That's fine. Say those bullet points, but don't keep hashing over. I mean, I feel like it's a broken record on some of the stuff. I've heard it too many times. Most of us could recite it for him if we wanted to. So he needs to stop talking about that and talk about going forward. Here's where we were. Here's what happened with a corrupt election. Go ahead and say it's a corrupt election. We got to change the election laws. And he did, I think, say, he said something about the amendments, term limits, that I doubt seriously that's ever going to happen, but it's a nice thought. Term limits, and then also about the elections. And we have to go back, and anybody who's running, you got to go out there and push the issue. Are you willing to take a stand and be on record, you will promote and support an amendment to clean up these elections, one-day voting, voter ID, paper ballots, manual count, and the people, which we have the right to witness the counting of the votes, that we're going to enforce that law? Because right now, constitutionally, we have the right to witness the counting of the votes, and we get blocked all the time. So those kind of things. I don't want to rant too much. That's enough about what Trump was doing, but it was just interesting because it seems kind of like the official really kickoff of the campaign season with CPAC and stuff. Mike Lindell was there. He was great. He's out there. Crime Bureau, the electioncrimebureau.com, go there. And because if we don't clean up the elections, it really doesn't matter. So we got to promote that, which I think in a couple weeks when I talk about what I want to see happen and what I will somehow put together as a proposal to Mike Lindell or whoever's going to listen, we got to get the no-party affiliates and the third-party people engaged. Right now they're blocked. Too many people get elected in primaries where these people never even vote. So there's something seriously wrong there. So we got to do that. And let's see, was there any other major updates? I think that was the main stuff I was going to cover for the updates, and now we can get into the artificial intelligence. And this stuff, this is really, really scary stuff. And I'm putting it out there. It's like artificial intelligence is an artificial soul because you got a computer, you got a program out there dictating what you think, what you believe, what your answer is, that God gave us a brain, but we're not going to use it. We're going to be replaced by a machine. There's going to be and you think how this all kind of came over time. I've been thinking about how this has evolved too, like so many other things, how it evolved over time, and then realizing that something is simple when you call a company and that you get the machine is, press one for this. You're calling from this number, and this is in reference to this account. Is this correct? Yes. What can I help you with? They're literally replacing the humans, the end of humanity. You don't need to have any humans here because you're not going to have a soul. You're not going to know what you're saying. You're not going to say anything. It's all going to be dictated to you. You're going to be controlled by a program. And the same program, and what I started to say too, the Alexis, the VRUs, their voice response units, when you call up and you put your account number in or do whatever else, that's one thing. Then this Alexis, what's the weather? What's this? What's that? You're not supposed to think. wait a minute, God did give us a brain, and many of us choose not to use it, unfortunately, way too many, but many of us do use our brain, and we believe we are the ones who should make our own decisions. But you're going to have a gadget out there. You're going to have a program, and what do they call this one program? ChatGPT. This is a program, and that's supposed to tell you what to do, basically. It takes over. It takes over any kind of human interaction, your own ability to think, and gives you all the answers and dictates it. And they were did a thing on this a couple weeks ago, excuse me, where they go out there and you ask this robot thing, why is Biden considered a bad president? And then it comes up with some standard answer someone has programmed. Oh, well, it's really not our place to put a, it's not my place to give you a political answer or make such a decision, whatever. It says something silly like that. Now flip it over. Why was Trump a bad president? Oh, he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that. Well, who do you think's controlling the narrative? Who do you think's controlling the message completely? This is the stuff that's so dangerous out there. It's evil. It truly is evil. And so we have to shut down artificial intelligence. And some people say, oh, you can't do it, it's too late now. No, it's not. It's not too late to save this country. It's not too late to shut down artificial intelligence. Reject it. I've never had an Alexa gadget. Don't want one. I do use a computer. Maybe that's, you know, I do searches. Maybe that's it. But I don't feel like talking to a machine. When, oh, something's wrong with the account, or wait a minute, what's this, or whatever it may be, whatever you may be calling, don't like the service, don't like the product they gave you, whatever it is, I want to talk to a human. We've got to talk to each other. And what we're doing now is totally the opposite. We're being forced into being bots, robots, and that we don't have the right to make our own decision. And then you think about how this all played into the dumbing down of Americans through education, how it all played into it. So the question is, you know, if we're going to talk about artificial intelligence, let's talk about what intelligence is. What is intelligence? And compare it to instincts. And what makes people more different than other life forms? It was one of the examples on one of the websites in reference to what a wasp does. A wasp, the queen wasp does this and goes and does these things without really thinking about it. It's instinct. It's not that it really wasn't trained in the same sense. Excuse me. Then you go to the human side. Well, humans have to be taught how to raise their kids. Somehow government is supposed to tell them how to raise their kids. What is the instinct versus what is the intelligence, which is the ability to learn? What intelligence is the ability to acquire skills, to learn more, to gather more information. Instinct is what you would normally or naturally do without truly thinking about it. Are you going to breathe? Did you have to stop and think, well, I probably should breathe. Might help. Or did you do it instinctively? But when it comes to the insanity of what's going on with this country, and how you raise your kids, how were you trained to raise a kid? You know, it's the intelligence. And right now you've been brainwashed into thinking that public education is the way to train the kid. When had you not had public education in there, you would have done a better job instinctively with what you would do. And it's kind of interesting when you think about the difference of intelligence and instinct. And then artificial intelligence, because if it's artificial, somebody created it, right? It's not real. It's not your natural intelligence. It's not your natural way to believe. It's artificial. What do they call it? AGI, artificial general intelligence. And this is used, and they're trying to come up with tools to use this in warfare and all this type of thing. So what does this really lead to? You're truly the destruction of of humanity. And though I did put a link out there to this one where it says untamed AI, artificial intelligence, will probably destroy humanity, global leaders declares. And it's true, because you're taking away anything that makes us human. What if you're going to be a robot, what is a robot? How do you have a relationship? And this is where they're going to say, well, actually, we're going to do these other things. This is how we will repopulate the planet when we feel like it, because right now we're depopulating. So this is how we'll do this. It's all going to be robotics. It's not going to be the same. It's all sick. It's all very sick. So anyway, I've been ranting for quite a while here, so I'm going to let Karen get in here and see what she's thinking about artificial intelligence and how dumbing down people has really helped push that along. And anyone else out there, make sure you just press the 1 if you want to join the conversation. Hey, Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. And while you were talking, I'm wondering who is going to program these computers. Think about that one.
Exactly.
Because the computer has a program, and a program has to be written by a human being, although they're probably going to train them to be able to program themselves. But I don't know if people realize that every time you make a keystroke, every time you answer a question, a survey, choose a product that you like, no matter what it is, and the worst one is, do you want to save your password? Never save your passwords on your computer. But, I mean, this is what we have, and eventually they will be taking over the world. That's what their intent is. Their intent is to dehumanize us so much that we'll become cyborgs. We won't be necessary anymore. They will have a robot that will be able to do anything. And today I was reading that Ford, that beloved American company, ha, 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 has now put a patent out and looking for approval for a car that, an electric car, that will be programmed so if you don't make your payment, the car will drive to the shop, wherever it is, or the lot, wherever it is that you bought it by itself because you haven't paid for it. But don't worry, folks. They're not going to act upon this patent. Really?
Yeah.
What idiot would spend millions of dollars creating a patent and say, oh, we're just not going to use it? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah.
If we put the electric car together with the new terminology, instead of a sustainable development or smart city or whatever, we now have the 15-minute city. What does that mean? You will live in an area where everything that you want to do is within 15 minutes, so you don't have to drive. You could walk. It won't make any difference. They don't want you in a car because when you're in a car, they have, especially not an electric car, they don't have any control over you, and they want to tell you, oh, you were a Sally, Miss Sally, you were a bad girl today, and you spoke derogatory about some LGBTQ by just asking, what is that? So therefore, we're going to, we'll shut down your digital currency. Sorry, you can't buy anything. This is the world that we are. And it is going to be up to us, and we right now have to be hammering our elected officials, no matter who they are, and tell them, no digital currency. That is the end all. And I really mean the end all. We will have absolutely no freedom at all. So between artificial intelligence, and they probably wouldn't have any intelligence at all if it wasn't artificial, but this is where we are today, and it's a very, very scary situation to recognize. I feel like I'm living in a sci-fi movie. And the other day we saw a movie that might be of interest. I think everybody might want to see it. This was a movie, I think it was done in the original, was done in the 60s, and then the later edition was done in the 2000s. I would see the earlier one because the actors were far superior. But the movie was called On the Beach. Now, what was On the Beach about? Well, some idiot governments decided it would be a good thing to start a war. And somebody dropped a net bomb. And here were these people living in Australia counting the days when the cloud was going to come over Australia. Think about that. And just go back and look at what happened in East Palestine. What happened there?
Mm-hmm.
Did that, when that blew up and that fire started and you saw that smoke cloud, did it dissipate and go back right in the train? No. It got caught in the wind and now it's spreading all over. Well, what do you think is going to happen if an atomic anything is dropped? Do you think it's going to stay in one spot and not going to come and affect the rest of us? And all we need is some Alexis to say, oh, we'll start a war. War. There's no control over artificial intelligence. And when I know multiple times I was on the computer and all of a sudden my computer gets taken over by a Microsoft message that says that if I don't call Microsoft in 2 minutes, then my computer is going to dissipate, explode, and I'll have nothing. Everything will disappear. This is our life. This can really happen. And this is what we are going to be, not maybe you and I, but certainly within the next 10 to 20 years, our children and our children's children. They don't want us to talk to each other. They are afraid if we talk to each other, we will discover that there's more of us than them. So they certainly don't want us to talk to each other. What better way than to create an artificial being or non-being, an artificial unhuman that is dressed up like a doll and becomes your sex toy? What? This is going on in Europe right now. These people are insane. No, they're not. They are totally driven by money, power, and control. They're not insane. They have a message. I think the ones that dream it up, it's the same thing that we saw in the 30s with Hitler. Experiment on people. We'll give the people a number instead of a name. How more dehumanizing than that would you be? We already have that number. It's called our Social Security number. When I was a kid growing up, you didn't get a Social Security number until you were 16, when you could go to work. Now they give it to you at birth. You are a number. To them, you are a number. And they don't care about those numbers. They will replace you for the necessary things that have to be done by a human. But then no more humans are needed. A friend of mine went to one of the grocery stores, I think it was Aldi's, she said, in South Florida. And there was not one person working from the store, in the store, at the cash register. Everything was self-checkout. Everything. So they're eliminating our jobs. And eventually, if they have their way, according to Bill Gates, the world should be, around 1 billion people. That's a comfort for him. And I don't think we, the people, realize that in the United States, if we took all the people in America, the landmass that we would live on would be, and everyone would fit, in the size of New York State. All of us. And we would all have 1/4 acre of land. We only occupy about 5% of the land in America. So is there a crisis because there's too many people? No. Is there a crisis because there's no food? Yes. Why? Because they are creating the crisis. And eventually their goal is to eliminate us. So what do they need food for? Artificial intelligence doesn't eat. Unless maybe they eat the solar panels. We've been trying to figure out where they go. Maybe it's artificial intelligence. Maybe they'll be talking to us soon. They probably will. They'll say, oh, no, you can't do that. But this is these are these people. This is a takeover of the world by the scientific, quote, and I'm putting quotes on that one because there's really very little science involved, but the scientific community merged in with the government. And the scientific community has decided that they want to be the government. And they want to rule everything, and that's what they have set out to do. And the easiest way to do it is to create an artificial thing that won't answer you back. I'm not going to tell you, oh, you look too fat today. I'm not going to tell you, I don't like your hair color. I'm not going to tell you all those hurtful things that make a human being hurt and go and cry and sit in the corner. Artificial intelligence doesn't care about that. They are only programmed to do what they're programmed to do. And I would imagine if you ask them what MAGA meant, they wouldn't even know because they're not programmed for that. They are certainly not programmed for common sense because these people don't have any. So we're in a bad situation with a group of people who feel that they are richer and smarter and should allow communist China to take over the world, run, of course, with the UN. So that's where we are. Excuse me, right now. It is
very sad state of affairs.
It is.
And and you think about the benefit that we've had from technology. This goes back to the expression I've said many times, and it was not an original. What makes you strong will also make you weak. Technology has given us such easy access to so much information. And the good it could do versus what it will be used for. And this evilness that will use it against us, use it to control. And this is
absolutely
where we are.
Absolutely
where we are.
And we really have a lot of clout if we would use it. For example, Florida used the system ERIC, E-R-I-C, which was the Electronic Registration Information Center, and they were cleaning up the voter rolls. I mean, doesn't that sound wonderful? Here's the way artificial intelligence works. Who programmed ERIC? George Soros's group. So what did they do? Well, they took out the Republicans and left the dead Democrats on the voter rolls and did all kinds of tricks like that using a, quote, programmed by the same criminals that we are trying to get rid of. So they have this all planned. We have to be smarter than that. And I believe that one good way to change a lot of this is to fill up the precinct slots in your community. If you want to make a change, we have to make a change starting, I would say, with the Republican Party, because it would be the easiest one to make a change in. And the way that it's run right now is there are multiple precincts in each state. Each county or jurisdiction has a precinct, and many have multiple precincts. And what has happened over the years is that we're busy working, so we don't go and pay attention to these meetings. And these precincts are the ones who nominate the committee man and woman who go to wherever the convention is held and nominate people. So we are in a position right now, if we looked at our precinct, I would have to say that the majority of them have about a minimum of 50% open. Imagine if conservatives, people who loved America, Americans, filled those slots. And don't go there and say, I'm a MAGA person, and don't wear your Trump shirt. All you want to do is say, I'm a good Republican, and I'd like to join, and I'd like to be part of the committee, and keep your mouth shut, In the meantime, recruit more people, but that's the way to take over. Because if we controlled the precinct, then we would be able to have a handle on the candidates and what they were going to say and do. And it's not going to happen any other way.
So that's what my problem was. I went to a Republican meeting, and I actually spoke up about the Constitution, or I said, I love my country. It's the government I'm afraid of. And that blew it. So if you say those kind of things to a bunch of Republicans, you're in trouble. Talk about artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Okay, now I've learned my lesson of the day. If I'm going to be a Republican, I can't say anything.
Right, and you want to be a Republican. In most state primaries are closed, and that's the only way that you will be able to have a voice in the primary. Anybody can vote in the general election, but you're so right, Sally, with the primaries in Florida, a lot of people get elected in the primaries. They may not have a running mate. And then what happens is the independents or the libertarians or the conservative parties or the Constitution Party, they don't vote because it's only Democrat and Republican. So we have to play their game, and we have to recognize who they are, the uniparty. They are in both parties. As Sally said, just look at Mitch McConnell. Do you think that he votes for Trump? No. He votes with Schumer. They're buds. They love each other. They hang together. Isn't that exciting? And they probably have Chinese investments together. So we have to know who our enemy is, but we're not going to get rid of them unless we have the votes to do it. And one of the ways to do it, remember, America is a participation country. The people are supposed to participate. We don't want artificial intelligence. We want to elect people that also don't want artificial intelligence. We don't want digital currency. We need to elect people that don't want digital currency. And we're not going to do it if we leave it up to somebody else. And unfortunately, I believe Americans are not in enough pain, so therefore they're leaving it to somebody else. We can't afford to do that anymore. If we want a country, and I, you know, when people say, oh, we'll leave it for our grandchildren and our children, what are we leaving for them? What are we leaving for us? Look at what's going on right now. Forget about 10 years from now, what is happening today? What did Zelensky say over the weekend? He said, American sons and daughters are going to die in Ukraine. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But unless I tell my representative, I don't think so. He may think so. So it's up to us, folks. Plain simple. Coming on a show like this is wonderful because Sally gives so much information, have wonderful speakers. We listen to so many things. But if we don't act, and that's why I always say applying knowledge is power. Knowledge, having it, doesn't mean anything. It means that you are ignorant, dumb, and stupid because you're not using the intelligence and the information and the knowledge that you have. And we have to put it to use. And we're not going to put it to use by going and talking to the same crowd that we have been talking to for the last 10 years. What was it? 74 million Americans voted for Trump. They were all not Republicans. They were from all different walks of life. And yet we are leaving them and not inviting them to help us. Why did you vote for Trump? They voted for Trump for a reason. Why did they vote for him? Because they too are sick and tired of what the elite have done to this country. But if we don't go out and gather these people and invite them to come and be on the precinct, that's our job. There's a very good website called precinctstrategy.com, but just put in precinct strategy. Dan Schultz, wonderful man, there is a one-minute video that he put out to explain the importance of joining a precinct. And sometimes, yes, you have to hold your nose and say, I'm going to do this, because if you can't beat them, you join them to beat them. You can't beat
I gotta challenge one point here, and this is where Karen and I agree on the majority of things, but this is where I have a serious problem, because unfortunately what I see happening with the human condition is these people get in there and they get turned off by it all in my own case. And it's like, okay, you want me to hold my nose till I suffocate and fall over? Because I'm going to have to hold my nose an awful long time, because what happens, and this happens with these people who get elected to office, this is why we need cleanup at the office itself so much, is, okay, just like with the Kevin McCarthy thing, how many of those Republicans were holding their nose on that one? But they did it. Was it, well, Kevin said he'll give you this. Kevin said he'll do this. And then all of a sudden, you're part of the same process. You're part of the same corruption that's in there, that you don't stand for anything. And I mean, to the same point, to support, I know where Karen's coming from, because Trump was saying something like this too, saying, we're going to have to go out there and ballot harvest legally, but we're going to do it. We're going to have to do the same thing, but we have to make sure we're getting people in there who are going to change it. Now, see, that's where I have the problem. I said, okay, fight fire with fire. Go out there, do this ballot harvesting. And there's some ballot harvesting for the sake of helping people who can't go. There's a certain amount of it that you could maybe justify, not much. But you could say, but you could justify it, and okay, so we go out there and we play the same game that way. But then we get these people in. And what do? They just continue. They compromise and all that, and keep doing the same thing. If they don't change anything, what was the point? And this is what it's too early to say what's going to happen with these Republicans who are in there now. We've seen them push back. We saw Matt Gaetz and a few of them push back and stuff like that. So there is reason to be optimistic that there is a sense of change in there. I'm just saying the majority of the people who do that get corrupted in the same way those that are in there.
Unfortunately, you were right, which to me says we're picking the wrong people. You have to pick people like you and I, who would be an asset to a Matt Gaetz and would say, yes, I agree with you. I will do that. I will work with you. So we're not asking the right questions. We're not vetting our people, and we don't have the option because we're not in the precinct, and that's where all the action is. I never realized it until I got involved. I never realized the importance of the precinct until I got involved. And then it was explained to me. This is only one option, one thing that we should be doing. There's many things that we should be doing. But when people say to me, oh, I'm one person, what can I do? My answer to them is, are you a precinct member? That's what you can do, because as one person in a precinct, you can make a difference. And if we can get more, we could really make a difference. But that's up to us. And like I said before, unfortunately, I don't think the American people are hurting enough. And that's what we have to do.
Well, it's not only that, the suffering, the pain, there's a certain amount of that out there, which, of course, is everything we've seen on the school side. The parents were suffering enough to take action and get in there. But the other part, especially after Jan 6, there's people who if Jan 6 would have been an honest situation and not corrupted by the other side once again, that would have empowered people to do even more. They would have said, yes, our voices were heard. Instead, we were arrested for having a voice. We were arrested for peacefully protesting. So there's many people who are going the other way because of that. I mean, that's my take. Wait a minute. You're not going to see that, too. Go ahead.
You might be right. We're not going to capture all the people. We're not going to get all people to do something. That's not going to happen. But remember, the Revolutionary War that got us all started, and with all the people, most of the people wanted to be part of England. But it takes determination. Yeah. And when people are busy throwing socks at the TV because they don't like what somebody's saying, you got to say to yourself, we've been doing that for 10 years. It hasn't worked. Maybe we ought to change what we're doing and try something different. And that's why I like what President Trump suggested. And yes, in order to beat them, because they're so programmed, you can beat them at their own game. You can play their game with them and actually win. And that's what he knows that because for a long time he was a Democrat. He knows the way it works. If you live in New York City and you're not a Democrat, you get nothing done. So he knows all of that stuff, just like I did, because I was a member of the, I still am a member of the teachers union. Once you're a member of the teachers union in New York, and it never goes away. But today I was on a call, and what are they saying? The communist state of Florida. I feel sorry that you live there.
Huh?
So they have twisted everything so incredibly that it is staggering, but it's up to us to do something. You're doing something, Sally. I'm doing something. We're giving information, but other people have to pick up the ball and run with it as well. And you can't, what are they, you can't win if you don't play the game. And that's where I feel we are. But as much as I would love to continue this conversation, I can't because I have another interview scheduled. So I am so sorry. And this is a fabulous conversation. And Sally, I appreciate everything that you're doing. So please keep it up. And folks, please go to my Substack, which is Karen Schoen, substack.com/Karen Schoen. And actually, it's substack.karenschoen.com. They changed it, things around. And I'm really not a techie, so I don't know how this AI is going to work with me. But this is very, 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 very critical, folks. I can't impress that upon you enough. Yeah, my show is critical, too. But the AI and the things that are coming down the road, this is really critical. So please go and listen to the Prism of America's Education on Saturday and Sunday at 7 and 9 at night, 7 in the morning and 9 at night. And I look forward to speaking with you again. This is always wonderful to get information out. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, Karen. And good to, glad that you joined. Good information. And we'll talk again next week. I'm sure we'll talk again next week.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. And now I see Mr. Nathan out there, so let's see what Nathan is going to chime in on. But remember, the conversation, unfortunately, I have a terrible habit of myself, is getting these things, one thing leads to another. The artificial intelligence and what they're doing here, the destruction of a culture, destruction of the of humanity, it's all part of this whole process. So and the only way we can put an end to it is take control of our government. Like I said, in the very beginning, the consent of the governed, we're supposed to, these people are representing. They are supposed to act on the consent of the governed. They're not doing that. So we have to change that. Otherwise, we have nothing. And as Karen was saying, it was in the beginning of the revolution, irate minority that made the change. And think about that when we say it was an irate minority that actually triggered this revolution. And then think about what's happening today. You have this minority out there, this transgender, perverted, whatever you want to call it, state out there that wants to change this culture overall, so they're trying to do it. And they're going to be successful if the majority sits silently by and do nothing. It's really not that complicated. And I understand when Karen says about the fear that people aren't going to do enough, haven't suffered enough, whatever, there is that. And are we going to have to wait until we have a true crushing depression, something much worse than the Great Depression of the 30s? We're going to have something like that to get people to wake up and pay attention. But have too many people been dumbed down that won't know any better? Will they have a stupid machine telling them what the answer is? When it's only, it's a manipulated answer. It's not truth. It's not based on truth. It's based on a sick ideology and evilness. And with that being said, Nathan, what do you think?
I'll be real brief. You rung my bell on a couple things. When she was talking about this AI, I'm not comfortable with it either, but I want to go back when we were little kids. There was a show called Star Trek, and then they had Star Trek, and that was good. Got your mind wandering. You know, man, somebody's got a good imagination, you know. And then we go to the next generation of Star Trek, the next generation, and you got a robot named Data that hopes to have desires like emotions like humans. You know, well, the only reason he had a desire to experience emotions is because he's a machine and someone programmed that in him. It is not, he's not a human. And that prepared our minds back then for what we're running into. You know, it's funny how when you talk to your radio, and you tell Alexa to, you know, turn something on or turn something off, the word Alexa, the name, the meaning of the name means defender of mankind. The spiritual connotation is intercessor. She mentioned this robot called Eric. Eric means powerful. The inherent meaning is powerful, and the spiritual connotation is unifier. Ain't it funny how it's almost true, just like, you know, Sally or Nathan or Karen has a meaning of a name, and it's almost like God, no matter how your parents came up with that name, they put that character theme on your life. You can see God working in mankind through this. And you either live up to your name or you don't live up to your name based on your behavior, your rebellion or submissiveness. But anyway, on the part that she's saying we got to work with the Republicans, okay, I can't think of any Republican up there that doesn't have the same vote record as a Democrat does. What I did yesterday, I wrote a letter to a lawyer, a nationally named lawyer in this country. I can't mention his name, but I listed everything that he says about our political system, and I referenced from the beginning of the preamble to the Constitution, and I referenced it, and I said, show me the two-party political system. Show me two separate elections for president and vice president, the electoral college. I went through a whole list of things, and I told him, sir, you either have been taught American history and not the Constitution, but please look at this, and if I am incorrect in any place, you being a teacher needs to correct me. And I'm waiting to see if he's going to give a response. But, you know, we can't keep beating the same drum and expect to hear a new song. We can't do it. We can't. The Republicans, I can send you stuff on the Republicans, and there's no difference between the Republicans and Democrats, especially when it comes to putting an issue down in the cement and letting it dry. That they have that 0 to 100 debate or vote count, and then we don't hear about it till later, and then we're debating it for a generation or two, and they're moving us, and they got us. I can't do the Republican Democrat thing, and unless someone can show me that is in the Constitution, and that's got to be my drumbeat, because we've been doing this for generations, and we're still moving in the same direction. But that's all I got on my mind for therapy tonight.
Oh, I can't believe that now. But it's true, and that's why, and I say 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to have that election show. And the part here, and I guess, again, this kind of goes to where Karen and I believe you, differ. And I'm not convinced that trying to bring a bunch of people into the Republican Party is going to change it. And I understand why she's saying that. And in a perfect world, that maybe would be what would happen. But we got to face the fact that the majority of people are sick of these two parties. They don't want anything to do with them. I mean, you probably have the number in front of you, but nationwide, because keeping in mind you've got no parties, Libertarians, Constitution Party, all the other parties, there's umpteen political parties across this country, and they're not all the same in every state. Some people think they're all the same, but they're not. But you think about how many people, what percentage of people identify as either a Democrat or a Republican, and then all the others, because we already know there's like 45% that have no party affiliation nationwide, more than that in Florida. You were giving us some numbers last week on that. But the whole point is, collectively, how many voters are either a Democrat or Republican? And, you know, if that figure right there doesn't tell these, I don't know if I can say morons, tell these people running, these politicians, you're missing something here. You're missing
But here's the thing, Sally, they don't need us. They don't need us as an independent. They don't need us as a constitutional, or you name all these other Green Party. You name all these parties and the people that are no party affiliate. They don't need us because we're playing a game called it's about who the Republicans and then Democrats. I am saying the Republicans want us to jump on board so we can beat the Democrats. The same thing backwards. We got to vote Democrat to beat the Republicans. But your vote doesn't mean anything in the primary, and it might mean something if you vote for one of the parties in the general. But the thing is they don't need us because we live in a two-party political system. I'm just saying there is no two-party political system, and if you want me to be left out because I'm not going to vote or I'm going to vote for some citizen candidate that can't win, then I'm voting my conscience. I'm not going to vote for the guy that can win because I look at their record. I look at their vote record. It's like this. Let me tell you a story that really I learned something.
In
1987 and 88, I was stationed on the DMZ. Okay? The North Koreans brought down chemicals, something like 2 tons of chemicals. I'm sleeping feet from this stuff. Okay, and we start, this is not good. They go into negotiations. All these countries are coming in. They're debating. And then what Reagan did, and I had peace with this. Reagan says if they use these chemicals, we'll evacuate as much as our military and dependents out of there. And when the last plane's off the ground, we're going to nuke North Korea. You know what that means for me, Sally? I'm not going home. But I said, you know, I can live with this because I'll know that it was not in vain. And then I come back getting more politically involved, and then I see we got this global government right now because Reagan was at the beginning of us having this North American Union, and Daddy Bush right after that picked up where he did and led it to new levels, like with the NAFTA. And I hear people just praising Ronald Reagan, and the only thing I got to say, when you put a man on a pedestal, you need to issue him a toilet seat. Okay, I was willing. I am glad I had Reagan over me, not Clinton or Obama, because I knew that I'm not coming back, but I knew that my effort is not wasted. We're not going to let him get away with it, you know. But at the same time, I'm looking back on it, and I'm like, who is this man to raise his hand, make an oath to the Constitution, and then the very first thing he does in the campaign is run on violating Article 6, the second paragraph. Now, if I would have violated that order, my oath, I would have been in Leavenworth serving my time. But that's why I say, you know, we need to issue him a toilet seat, because he's going to mess on us. I can't get into this Republican-Democrat thing. And we need to read the Constitution as it is written. That's all I'm saying. Read it as it is written. And if anything I say I'm wrong about, correct me. Don't just say, well, we're going to ignore you because you don't want to be a part of the team. I am part of no team. I'm part of the Constitution. I'm going to hang up and let the next guy get in. Thank you for letting me get my therapy.
Okay. Goodbye. I have a feeling you may come in for a second dose before it's over. But okay, that's fine.
Okay, bye.
Okay, and I'm going to – bye-bye. The comment on that, and this, again, we're on that show for the election. I'm gonna do my own little rant in the beginning, and then Nathan's going to take over most of the rest of it because he's going to be talking about the Electoral College and all that stuff and the Constitution. But the thing that people don't seem to understand or appreciate. Is it ignorant, dumb, or stupid? I don't know. You take your pick. Excuse me. The political parties are not public entities. They are private entities with their own board, their own money-making on everything else. It's not a voter thing. Excuse me. We are being part of a membership to a club that's destroying our country. So why do you want to be a member of either a Democrat or a Republican when you see what they both do to the country? And they are private entities. People have to understand that. They are not public. And for two private entities to have control over our elections is wrong. They, as I've said in the past, and we will say, I'll go into more detail on what I'm thinking here in a couple of weeks, excuse me, is that they should have their own convention. They're a private entity. Go have a convention. If your convention shows you have two people you want to be on that primary ballot, then go for it. And then rally your money and whatever else behind those two people to help get them elected. Then if you have one person that you want on there, okay, fine. You go out there, you nominate, you do your own thing because you're having your own party. I'm not allowed to go to a Republican convention without paying for it or anything else, or a Democrat convention for that matter. I'm not allowed to do all that. So you go do your own thing, and you say who you're going to nominate to put on the ballot. It's not a public process. It's really not. People need to understand that. They're using us. They're manipulating us, saying, if you don't join our club, you're going to get ignored. You don't get to be part of the process because you're not part of one of our clubs, private clubs. You talk about all the insanity, especially the Democrats talk about how the poll taxes and the way we're blocked from the alienating the black voters and all this other, because they say black people are too dumb to figure out how to go get a voter ID or have some form of ID to vote and this kind of stuff. It's all crazy. But the truth is they're both manipulating us. That's the part that has to change. If you got over half the people, which at least 45% are no party affiliate, so you add in the stragglers for the other different parties, over 50% of the people don't want anything to do with these two parties that are controlling everything. Isn't there something wrong there? Mike Lindell, if you're listening, would you please tell me, as part of this crime bureau, the two parties are criminal, which I think actually he would agree with after what he's seen with the Republican Party and the games they've played. So what we got to go out there and give the right to everybody to participate. This fear of the independents messing things up or whatever else, it's wrong. The Republicans are losing a lot of votes because they're alienating these no-party affiliates. The majority of the no-party affiliates are much more freedom lovers than they are communist. That's my own take from what I went in speaking with people. I don't have any study to give me any numbers. My studies are, you know, they're probably still better than Fauci's, but but that's another story for another day. But the point is, I talk to people all the time, and the no-party affiliates, the majority of people do not support this insanity. Anyway, I think this might be Sarge. Is this Sarge out there? Hello there.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And well, I'd like to say before I get started here, I'm glad that Brother Nathan didn't get sent to the stockade because they might consider him a crazy radical and they might have kept him there forever. So good.
He'll probably call anyway. Back in on that one.
Yeah, I hope he does. But look, he is correct when he says, and he's absolutely correct when he says there's nothing whatsoever in the Constitution about political parties. Now, that is literally true. However, there's also nothing in the Constitution that forbids political parties, and that's the problem. Remember what the Constitution essentially is. The Constitution is a limit, not a grant of authority to the government. It limits what the government can do unless the powers there are specifically enumerated. And the government has no authority to limit political parties because Americans retain the right of free association under the First Amendment, and also they retain the right to petition the government for redress of grievances as a group. And I guess that group can call itself a political party. Now, I share his disdain for these parties that they have come to be, And I'll even characterize it. Now, the Democrats are insane, destructive, anti-human, radical, lunatic, fanatic, ruthless, and degenerate, as a general rule. The Republicans are cowardly, feckless, ineffectual, and unwilling to do the very things, in particular, the fact that they were founded on the idea of liberty by opposing slavery. They don't go far enough to defend liberty in the Constitution. Now, I guess that's damning them with faint praise, because it ain't enough. Because, you know, they ain't as bad as the Democrats. They're bad enough, they don't warrant our total allegiance. And they are problematic. But remember, the Constitution, I cannot see under our Constitution any way you could forbid political parties. What I think can be done is to limit the amount of government assistance they get. Like you said, they're private entities. All of their activities should be funded by themselves. Now, we see that to some extent in which if the president isn't using Air Force One for his or official duties, then they got to pay for the costs associated with using that craft. And some other little relatively minor things like that. But I think what we ought to be looking at, since I don't see any constitutional way you can forbid political parties, to limit the influence they have on governmental resources in order to either campaign or do whatever it is they want to do, especially this idea of federal campaign contributions ought to be absolutely off the table. And every once in a while, the Democrats will bring that one up.
Yeah, actually, I think Trump mentioned that over at the CPAC thing, too. And here's the take on that one. First off, and my proposal would be, if you are not a voter, you are not eligible to donate. This is where we have money laundering, and people understand what money laundering is. It's manipulating the financial system to do what you would not otherwise be legally allowed to do. Because, as Trump says all the time, you know what? If I donate $1 more than $5,000, I'll be arrested and whatever else. However, you have these corporations and all these others. They can donate as much as they want. You can have these political PACs out there, political action committees out there, and they can do all this other stuff. And then it was Citizens United that was also part of the problem, too, to go out there and say that corporations have the same rights as a voter. That's wrong. Corporations don't. A corporation is a unique entity for the sake of doing business, not because a corporation is supposed to elect people. They don't vote. A corporation, Coca-Cola, does not get to walk into the voter booth and vote. And so this is where we've got to cut this stuff out, too. It's supposed to be about we the people, not about the corporations. So Citizens United, to me, was totally bogus and incorrect, and we should not allow people who are not eligible to vote. Soros, why is, which I don't know, I can never keep track what his status is. If he's an American now, he shouldn't be one. That's another story. But these people who are not Americans should not be allowed to fund American elections. It's insane. They are supposed to be about we the people, of, by, and for the people kind of thing, you know? So it's insane.
Well, I believe
so
it's already federal election law to for a foreigner to make federal campaign contributions, isn't it?
When it comes to a foreigner, they may be that way, but the thing is they money launder through organizations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Somehow, some way, they'll get the pack out there, and then that's it. So,
yeah.
And that's
well,
where
again,
they challenge.
That's like everything else. Yeah. Now, Lee, I mean, it's the rule of law. If they don't enforce the law, they get away with it. I mean, it's illegal for foreigners to make particularly presidential campaign contributions. Remember, Barack Obama had to give back hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars that he got from foreign campaign sources when it was discovered, but nothing was done to him or his campaign other than to pay a relatively small fine and they had to give the money back.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's part of the
process
too,
is
you funny. Know, slap on the wrist stuff.
Yeah. But even if you take that element out, what's allowed to happen with Facebook guy and everything else is how they create their own groups. Soros has his own group, the Open Society, Free, whatever his group is, I can't remember now. But they have these political action committees that it's the bottomless pit. They can put as much money in there and funnel the money laundering to go out there and do what they could not have done individually. It's the way they corrupt the whole process, and they go out there, and that has to be done. Something has to be done about that too. And I don't care what political party they are. Do you think either the Democrats or the Republicans are going to say, "Oh yeah, we're gonna clean up election. We're gonna stop that." Yeah, right. They're going to what do you want to call it? Slap the hand that feeds them routine? No. This is where why we are in such a quagmire where we can't seem to get anything changed. We have to have people who are truly loyal to this country over all the other insanity. Now, the
what
show
do you
is
think
actually
about
your Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. You want to finish up what you were about to say? I thought you were finished.
Well, just when you're wrapping up, I want to ask you about this artificial intelligence and what this all means out there right now, too. Get your take on that one. But go ahead and finish.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about, you know, this party deal, and look, I understand what Nathan is saying. Like I said, you know, as he quite correctly pointed out, there's not a thing in the Constitution about political parties. But again, I don't see how you can constitutionally forbid them. But what would you think about the idea, don't some states run party primaries and they're overseen by the election commissions of various states and counties? Don't some states actually do that?
Well, that's what the problem is. And, again, I'll get into more detail in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think we can do something
Florida
about that,
does. But that's the problem. We close primaries. That's exactly the whole point that I'm making, because right now, collectively, we know, at least based on some of the last reports, nationwide, roughly 45% of the people are no party affiliates. They don't identify with any political party. Then you got those who are the Libertarians, the Constitution Party, the Green Party, these other people. Then you have the Democrats and the Republicans. Now, collectively, there's got to be close to 50%, maybe more than 50% of the people who are not Democrats and not Republicans. However, in the primaries, because of the way the corruption of the primaries, closed primaries are what they're called, Florida has, at the state level and the federal level, has closed primaries. At the local level of counties, some of that's a little bit different. But at the state and federal level, they are closed primaries. So if you are a no-party affiliate, there could be 10 candidates out there who are running as no-party affiliate or a third party or whatever else. They will not be seen on the primary. They don't have a choice. It's a closed primary, and so you have to be one of those parties to technically, if you manage to get a Libertarian out there for the primary, you'd have to have more than one, obviously, to have a primary. Then, in a closed primary, the Libertarians would have the right to vote on the Libertarian candidates, which is now is what we see happen on the Democrats and Republicans primaries. So more than 45% of the voters are alienated out of the primary process because of the way it is today. I'm saying
something can be done about that. I think that maybe we could look into doing something about that sort of thing. Like I said, we're just kind of stuck with political parties until people decide that they want to abandon them. In the meantime, we're just kind of stuck with them.
Well, they've been given way too much power. All they have to do, again, it's they are private entities. Most people think they're public entities, and kind of like what you said, because it is it's the county in Florida, the county supervisor elections. They are the ones who put everything together and coordinate and all blah 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 for the primaries. And so, because they have closed primaries, well, if you're not a Democrat or Republican, then you don't get to vote. And the other thing that happens, and again, a lot of this is going to be repeated in a couple of weeks. What happens is, and this is the sleaziness of these people, I've seen it happen too many times, I've complained about it, got a report out there once or twice here, but they will slip another referendum item onto a primary ballot. So that because they know, especially like if it happens to be something that this happened when Obama was running for re-election, the Democrats weren't going to waste their time voting in the primary. They knew that the Democrats weren't going to go there. It was going to be Obama. I don't even think it was being challenged. I can't remember. But whatever. So they know that there's nobody going to vote in the Democrat primary. Like primary day, Democrats aren't going to show up. But they know on the Republican side there's going to be one out there. Excuse me. And this is because of Mitt Romney and whatever else and all these others. So they know the Republicans are going to be there. So what they do, and this is the Republicans who play this game, the Republicans slip, they slip in at the local level primarily, but they could do it at the state. But at local levels, they slip in some kind of referendum that they want voted on. And they know, because they're already talking to the circles, the Republicans who are going to vote in the primary and everything. It's all a click if you want to. So they can put that referendum item on there, and then they'll get it through. Because, no, the independents thought they weren't supposed to vote, but technically they were. The independents were supposed to vote because of that referendum. They couldn't have voted on the candidates because it's a closed, but they could have voted for or against the referendum, which they probably would have voted against if they knew about it. But they were told, no, wait a minute, you're no party affiliate. You're not supposed to vote in the primary. Yeah, you were. It was a public referendum mixed in with it. This is how they corrupt elections. I mean, the corruption of the ballot box is widespread. This is another game they play. That's why we have to stop having closed primaries. I don't think Karen really wants closed primaries per se, but she's dealing with the system that we've been given. I'm saying it's time to squash the current system and go back to what it should be. Private entities
yeah.
should do their own
and,
thing.
And
I should
and
not
I really
have to pay
like
for the
your
funding.
Idea of making people aware that the political parties are not government. They are private entities. And like you say, a lot of people are either unaware of that or they're only dimly aware of it, and that's part of the problem too.
Yeah. And in the case in Orange County where I was running, for the county offices, you could be elected. Whoever had the majority in for county was nonpartisan. So anybody had the right to vote in the county elections, but because of the manipulation, the closed primary garbage that everybody heard, and the supervisor election was terrible about promoting anything out there, which I got after frequently, the no-party affiliates didn't realize they were supposed to vote in the primary. So whoever got elected for the county commission or the mayor or whatever, these particular local offices, they never voted in because they didn't think they were supposed to vote, and then they elected people in the primary. It's a corrupt system, corrupt at all levels. And so we talk about the ballot boxes and Dominion and all that kind of stuff. It's all true, but that's only part of it. And I will be putting my proposal out there to Governor DeSantis and to my state people about it's time to let everybody vote and for the private entities to go do their own convention on their own dime, not on mine. And I see Nathan's back out there. I was going to ask you about this artificial intelligence, so I still want to get your feedback on that because that is the topic of the night of what's happening, how they're trying to totally control how you think and what you do. And we need to get be pushing out there at the state level to shut down this artificial intelligence garbage, and then, of course, at the federal level. But we have to start at the state level. People need to do that. But I have a feeling that Nathan is probably going to comment on something, either what I said or you said. So let's get Nathan back in here. I told you he was going
to
call back in.
I can't wait to hear
his take on it. I caught him so sorry to talk me off the ledge.
Yeah, man. I sympathize with you, brother, but I'm just saying, man, that the Constitution, the only thing Obama got a little bit right in his idea of constitutional interpretation is the Constitution is a document of negative liberties. That's maybe 25% true. But if it ain't in there forbidden, it's not illegal, which is why the Constitution leaves most everything to the states. You know, and the Constitution.
Yeah, but here's the thing is – but what we need to do is when we do something, we should stop and look and see where – is this in the Constitution or does it make room? You know, one of my biggest stinks was with Madison. You know, the judge decided, nope, this is the way it's going to be. And Madison, they say he wrote the Constitution, and what did he say? Oh, man. Yeah, no. He was supposed to say your job as a judge – is to simply do the same thing you do when you cross the highway. You make a judgment. You look and make sure you're not going to get hit with a bus. You look at the Constitution and the law, and if something doesn't match up, you either enforce it, and if it doesn't match up, you send it back to Congress, and they can revise, or enforce it. And we're not trying hard enough. Before I – Sally, Before I say anything else, I want to tell you, I don't know if you looked up that thing last week on The Heart of a Warrior, but if you go and look up a guy named Clint Bruce. He was 29 years old, Navy SEAL, sitting at a desk doing his job at a financial firm. And whenever he saw Katrina hit, he got his Marine buddy and they went down. And just type in Clint Bruce and anything, something about more than 900 people evacuated, something will come up. And you'll see this guy was just a regular citizen doing his job and dropped it, go take care of people. And that's why I was saying, remember when it falls apart, look to the veterans, you know.
Yep.
But veterans, they'll get her done. But somebody put something in your thing on Orange County in the chat room, Sally, and this here pretty much points out what I'm saying is when you look at this on a weekly basis, you see the no party affiliates numbers continuing to grow and bleeding off of mostly the Republicans, but off the Democrats too. But the people are leaving the parties. But again, I got to say, like I said earlier, and I think Sergeant agrees with me, you know, no matter what we do, we're not a part of the game. You either vote Republican or Democrat, but they can have elections without us being a part of it because we're not locked into their system and they got it. I'm saying they're violating their oath to the Constitution because, one, in the 24th, it says the right of citizens to vote in any primary. Right there, open primaries is the law of the land. And it mentions who we get to vote for, the president and another election, not both of them together, another election, the vice president, Congress and Senate. And then it says, shall not be denied by the United States, federal, or any other state, or any poll tax, meaning cash, or any other tax, which means, you know, you got to be able to read, or you got to have teeth here and a job, or you got to be a part of only these two parties. That is a condition, a tax. And I'm saying if we're going to read it, and that's repeated, it's repeated again in the preamble, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. The 14th Amendment, Section 2, the second sentence, says these white men that got to vote on paper for the first time in history in the 14th, they get to vote for the president and the vice president, two separate elections, and for the electors of president and vice president. And if you go to Federalist, and I don't like looking at history because we remember history more than we do what the Constitution says, but if you read Federalist Papers 68 and Anti-Federalist 68, they both make the point that we vote for our citizen peers, and then they vote for the president in one election, and then they vote for the vice president in another election. And the only reason we have, they came up with. The only reason the president picks his running mate because of the 1800 election, the vice president was running around with his buddies in the Congress and Senate undermining the president. So they decided, tell you what, why don't we let the president pick his running mate? Okay, I'm for that, but amend the Constitution so we're not living a lie. That's all
correct.
I got to say. I'm going to hang up. But,
okay.
I mainly want to let you know somebody put something in your chat room.
Okay, I cannot see the chat room.
Aaron
I'm glad you
Burke?
Mentioned that. Who?
Aaron Burr
was the vice president.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if we read the Constitution,
go ahead.
If we read the Constitution as it is written, and then we look at what we're doing, and we're looking back on this like we look back on the 2000 presidential election. And what the court did for this election, you know, measuring it. Well, that there is not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to look not back on another ruling by a judge. We're supposed to look at what does the Constitution say, and let's follow that, you know. A judge doesn't make a law, and it becomes a decision, and it becomes the law of the land. And this is what I told this lawyer this week. He says our law is based on English common law. Well, all that is, you know, if a guy shows up to church in his underwear, we're shocked, but he shows up next week, and then after a while we all decide, well, anybody can show up to church, and because he set the precedent, and no one called him out, so we're living our experience rather than living the standard that was supposed to produce our experience. Does that make sense?
Correct. Correct. And
okay, well, I'm going to hang up and let y'all fuss about it.
Yep. And we will take even a deeper dive in a couple of weeks on this, and we'll be reading the Constitution as we talk about it, and in even some of these cases, because people have to understand. But the political parties are not in the Constitution. That's exactly right. These political parties are totally private entities. They have their own little convention. That's how they should go do their own thing. It should be a private membership. If that's what you want to believe and you want to rally together with that being a political action committee, whatever you want to call it, you want to go do that, and then, you know, that's fine. But they should not be the ones who control our elections. They have their own primary election. Then we have the general primary election. That is what it should be, and we will talk much more about that in a couple of weeks, because I plan on putting more information out there documenting how I would like to see this happen and versus what the Constitution says. This goes into the electors / electoral college and all that fun stuff that Nathan just hates talking about. Yeah, right. Now, just remember, before long, I mean, it's really already happening. The computers are the artificial intelligence that's out there controlling our elections today. Do we really like artificial intelligence? Because we have to realize how it's destroying us, too. And I see John out there. John, I'll be with you in just a second. I'll go to you. I want to make sure everybody knows. Okay, so there is stuff going on in the chat room, but I hate to tell you this. On my side, I can't see any of it. It's just spinning and spinning. And so just know that I cannot see your messages. This has been 3 weeks like this where it hasn't worked here, so I'm going to have to get in touch with Blog Talk and see what happened. Or see what's going on with their chat room. Because I'm glad to know that people are posting stuff out there, but I can't see it.
I see it just fine.
Okay. Unfortunately, I can't. Otherwise, I would read off some of the comments. I try to read off the different comments and questions people ask, but I cannot see any of it. So feel free to share any of it if there's anything you want to or something that you want to talk to, and then I will get John in here. Sarge, anything else for right now, or you want to wait for John?
Oh, were you going to talk about artificial intelligence, or?
Well, I was talking a little bit about that. Again, we talk about the artificial intelligence is controlling our elections, too, when you get back to it. We have to realize how they're brainwashing us and everything else and shut it down. Yeah, go ahead.
And chat rooms are shutting down. But, look, when it comes to artificial intelligence, there's a lot of things I've been thinking about that lately. First of all, on the really dystopian side, Biden is declaring war on what he calls algorithmic discrimination. Now, when he issued an executive order talking about his administration is going to embed equity into all aspects of federal decision-making, among other things in that executive order, the federal bureaucrats are supposed to ensure that artificial intelligence systems are programmed to comply with his woke agenda. So we can already see the potential. Well, we know there are an infinite number of possibilities for mischief with artificial intelligence. But, you know, basically artificial intelligence, no matter what, until artificial intelligence actually becomes sentient, and that's something that you're only going to recognize as being completely human when and if that ever happens. But artificial intelligence reflects the values of who programs it. I mean, you know, you heard about that crazy thing this guy had with his chatbot or whatever it was, and talking about he's in love with him and all this nonsense, you know.
Yeah.
But a computer can't do this. Okay, I remember there was a book that the person was telling me, but I never did get it. But it was some guy who was explaining why computers can never do things that you can do. And he explained what makes human beings unique, you know, what makes us sentience unique. and why no computer will match human capabilities. Now, computers excel at things that are algorithmic or they got entail step-by-step instructions, A, B, C, D, E, F, and they can do it with blinding speed. Now, human beings, unless you're one of these rare, exceptional 0.00 whatever percentage of people who can come close to a computer, that's something that we'll never be able to touch them at. So forget that. But when it comes to calculating probabilities and all that, you know, when it comes to intuitive induction and deductive reasoning, computers still can't match human beings and never will be able to. Even if you would try to program software or a computer to do the things that computers excel at, right now we don't know any way to make a computer able to match that. You know, they can beat us at chess, you know, but they're not going to be able to beat us at things like understanding and creativity and emotion and common sense. Machines are never going to have common sense. Just not.
Not going to have emotion. They have no emotion
what
either.
The word I'm looking for is a simulacrum. That's what it'll be. It'll only be a simulacrum of sentient intelligence. At least that's what this computer guy thought.
Well, and that would sound right because there's no emotion. It's all programmed. It doesn't know why it does what it did. It was told to do it. It doesn't have any. Again, it's okay. Well, okay. The machine will said I need to kill XXY people. These are the people I kill. I don't know why I'm killing them. But with a human with real emotions, with a soul, you would maybe kill someone in self-defense or because you're evil and you go out there and you don't care about other people. But that the majority of people don't feel that way. And think about, you know, you're going to bring robotics. What we're going to do when it comes to reproduction. You're going to go and order the baby? and really, that's what we're coming. I think that's what they want to try to do. It's like, okay, so this one looks like this, and you want to have a matching, you want to have a baby that looks like this, whatever, to that degree. So there's no humanity in it. There's no emotion. There's no soul. And is that really what God wanted people to be? It doesn't make sense. When you have a machine dictating and controlling
your life. Well, the problem with these programmers is they think that human intelligence is something that you can reduce to a set of algorithmic rules. And intelligence really, knowing what you know, talking to smart and dumb people, you know, it's kind of complex. It's multifaceted. You know, like creativity, it's emotions, it's intuition, common sense. That's really hard to program in a machine. And then there's the problem of consciousness. You know, AI really has a lot of trouble replicating consciousness. Can a machine achieve the same kind of self-awareness and subjective experience that you as a human being can do? And then you got the ethical questions about the rights and treatment of artificially intelligent beings, should they ever become sentient? Huh? There's all kind of things about this that don't seem to be well thought out or well thought through, even as they allow for the brilliance of people who are even capable of making a simulacrum of human intelligence.
That's exactly it. So if we go back to the key question that we ask on all these discussions, why would they want to do this? What is the underlying reason for something like this except to control people?
Easy. No, I can break ready SB on that one. How many times have I said, and you guys on the program pretty much said the same thing, everything about modern-day progressives is at war with human nature. Everything. Everything they do, they think, they say. All of their belief systems, all of their policies, their prescriptions, their likes, their dislikes, almost all of it is at odds with human nature. So here's what I think they would like to do. They would like to program artificial intelligence with their values. And then by saying springing out of the ultimate science, artificial intelligence and computer science, but actually, you see, the machines have come up with reasoning that matches ours. So how can you oppose it? I mean, you might seem to be at odds with it, but all you need to do is simply readjust your thinking, and you'll be in line with what is really logical and reasonable, and it goes along with the science.
Well, and this is
amazing
what they can
do. If anybody can pull off that kind of propaganda, it's the left who's able to do it. Convince you human nature really isn't human nature. And a machine actually can simulate human nature and tell you what it ought to be.
And at
you
some
notice
point,
what they do when
it
they
will
talk
come back
when
around.
You put in a search engine for Donald Trump. What has Donald Trump administration done that is good and positive? And you don't get any answer on it. Oh, I can't answer that one.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, these people are diabolical. We know what they're trying to do if we really think about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, at some point, it would come back to them as well. Sooner or later, it's going to come back around, and it's not going to like what they're doing, or they're not going to like the answer it gives them either at some point in there. So,
I hope I don't program none. If I program it, boy, they'd get trouble.
Well, I'm going to do that hit any key to continue routine. That's my program to it. Let's go ahead and get John in here and see what he would like to chime in on between the election or the artificial intelligence or both. Hey, John, you there?
Yes. Well,
what would you like to
none other than Elon Musk is warning us about artificial intelligence. He's done it a lot. And he's got a great big warning about it. And he said there's a very grave danger about it.
Yeah, that's right. Even though he's a big investor of it, though, right? Doesn't he have some major investment in it?
Everything he does uses artificial intelligence. He couldn't operate his spaceships or anything.
That's true. The way he does stuff. So yeah.
After all artificial intelligence is a computer.
Correct.
But he sees the danger in using artificial intelligence and he's scared of it. I mean, he's very honest about it.
Yeah.
He knows enough about it to know how dangerous it is.
I have heard something him saying a little bit about that, but I haven't really heard that much. But what is he doing to try to stop it?
There's nothing he can do. All he can do is warn about it. But like you say, everything he's involved in uses AI. And he's well aware of it.
And, of course, he's also... His investment in Twitter was also linked with the Chinese Communist Party, too, which it's kind of – he's an interesting person. I'm trying to understand exactly where he comes from because at times you think he's being changed from being the liberal Democrat that he was in the past to where now he's moved more to the Republican side and he's identifying these other things. And how is he going to play a key role in changing or saving the world, if you will, from this – disgusting stuff. I'm trying to understand what he's going to obviously sharing the information, putting it out there.
Well, it's made a much more dangerous world for everybody to live in.
Yeah.
That's what artificial intelligence has done.
Yeah.
You know,
and
we've left out of this equation. Maybe this all this talk about artificial intelligence will make us look again into the concept of what a soul is.
That's it, because you won't be human. You're not human anymore. Just like a person can't seem to figure out, we don't teach kids how to write. I mean, just they have to have a keyboard. They have to have a machine that they type into. They can't handwrite anything anymore, scriptive or anything else. So everything we're doing to take people away from being human, having a soul. And, you know, here you're supposed to talk into a computer to say what kind of baby you want to have or who you're going to meet and, you know, it's also disgusting. It takes away the human soul and any sense of humanity. And then you go back to, is that what God created us for, to be programmed, or are we supposed to have a soul?
Yeah.
John?
Reset.
Hello.
Go ahead, John.
Uh, we can't forget where we've been, which is we're inevitably tied to artificial intelligence because everybody's got at least one computer somewhere, and we're totally dependent on them. You couldn't go on a space flight without one telling you what to do.
But there's the different levels of what, when we say artificial intelligence, and then the generic of computer information, because the same thing that makes you strong will also make you weak if you're not careful. Now, I think, you know, obviously I use the internet all the time. We're having this conversation because of internet technology and the computer piece of it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. So their technology, artificial intelligence to some limited degree, is not bad. It's good. It has enabled us to share information and learn more information than what we would have ever known. But it can also be used as the for evilness. And that's where when the more talk about artificial intelligence as being manipulated on how you're not going to talk to a human anymore, you're always going to talk to some mechanical robotic gadget that's been programmed by some one or two people, whatever it is, somebody who's got a preconceived notion of what's right and wrong, that you're no longer human. You are truly just a robot in itself. So, in that, to me, so the fact that I log on to a computer and look up information and all this, what makes you strong will also make you weak. I think that makes us stronger for the fact that we no longer truly have to depend on mainstream media to get information because we have this other device. However, this device, if manipulated the right way, the evil way, the artificial intelligence trying to force people to communicate this way, and what I gave in reference to when you call a company to ask a question, a billing question, or whatever question it may be, you get put through a series of artificial intelligence there. Press one for this. What is your question? Maybe I can help. It's all a machine. And it's programmed to, and it'll ask you yes or no. Press one. Do this. And so it's giving you all these answers, and you got to keep banging on the keys and wear it out before it finally transfers you to a human, because you want to talk to a human. They're doing everything they can to isolate us from each other, which I think is really evil in its way too. But it's all going out to change the culture once again.
Well, Sally, I can give you a perfect example of how artificial intelligence can really atrophy your skills you had. One of the hardest skills for you to master, and when I mastered it, it just opened up everything for me, was the ability to read a map, like something about a military map, a 1 in 50,000 grid military map, because they have a great deal of a flat piece of paper. You can look at it, and you can literally visualize the terrain. You can see where there are cliffs. You can see how steep the terrain is. You can see where the draws are and the valleys. And you can, you know, plot distance, and you got declination diagrams. You can figure out compass deviation, and you can, you know, measure the grid and all. I mean, it just opens up the universe to you when you understand how to do it. It was the hardest military skill I had to master, but once I did, I was unstoppable. And I could look at a map and immediately figure out the route I would have to take to get to where I want to go, plot the distance, the azimuth, the checkpoints, everything. Now I'm using GPS to go hunting. You know, my map reading skills have atrophied. I mean, GPS is making me mentally soft in that respect. You know?
I think
that's not necessarily a good thing.
Well, but that's true, because this is the other part where it weakens us mentally, because people no longer think on their own. Now it's like you're not supposed to think. You're supposed to dial an answer, and this is kind of what this happens. And now I've used MapQuest plenty of times on a road trip, so I can map out my trip. I can see the different stops, whatever else it may be, and I can track stuff. So I've done that plenty of times myself. I don't have GPS. I chose not to use that. At a minimum, when I use MapQuest, I do have to think about where I'm going and pay attention, where it's not turn left and how many miles, whatever. And sometimes they're wrong. GPS isn't always right. Sometimes it does send you down the wrong street. But anyway, but at the same time, if you didn't have that device, how many, you go with the younger people right now, if they don't have a device that tells them how to drive someplace, how would they ever figure it out? They wouldn't, if you're in Florida and you had to get to Washington State, get up to Seattle or whatever else, or Alaska, would they have any clue how to get there? Could you give them, here's a map, go figure out how to get there. Would they be able to do it? Probably not. And it all coincides, which is what the one article said out there, the dumbing down. It's the untamed AI will probably destroy humanity, global leaders declare. If you go, I put the link on the show page. Go out there and read it, and it talks about how this coincides with the dumbing down of people, dumbing down of education, because we want to force feed them the answer. We don't want them to think, because they might come up with a new solution, a different answer. And we don't want them to think. We want to tell them what to do. We want to dictate what they do. And so they took the same thing that gave us so much access to so much information. Now they're using it as a weapon against us, which is really what's happening. This includes your bank account and everything else. I mean, you could say artificial intelligence computers, what they did to the truckers in Canada. At a flip of a switch, you shut them all down. They don't do what we like, we're going to control them. So they're going to do it. It's really a scary situation, what we've allowed it. And if we do not, it's a new language, it's a new form of communication. And if we do not control it to, I think in the article it mentioned, untamed control of AGI, they call it artificial general intelligence, saying that we're controlling, we're going to mimic what people think and do, but we're going to tell them the right thing to do. If it's untamed, it will cause so much disruption across this whole world. And we're at right now. We're at the brink of that right now. We're already seeing some of it. And we could truly say what happened with the elections was because of artificial intelligence and what they did with machines and how the impact that had on us. John, we still got about 7 minutes here. John, anything else you want to add or any other comments on anything?
What else were we talking about?
Well, you well know what I went through when I ran for office in Orange County, Florida. We were talking a little bit about the craziness of our election laws and the primaries, and I know you're a Republican, and you support the closed primaries. I can't remember.
Closed primary?
Yeah.
Well, it seems to me that a primary should be closed.
So you're saying, well, what I said earlier, which I'm not sure if you heard the whole thing, but and you've heard me say this over the years, that the private entities called the RNC and the DNC, political parties, not any political party, but obviously those two, they should go have a convention and decide who they want to be on the primary. Then we have a primary ballot. They should not control our public ballot, which is what they do today. They control the public ballot. Then we have the people who are truly on the primary, which would include no party affiliates, which would include the libertarians or whoever else. And then everybody votes in the primary. But it's the Republican National Committee. They have their own convention, and they decide who they want on the primary. But I don't think we should be alienating no party affiliates. I think they should participate in the primary as well. I don't think private entities should block no party affiliates. Your thought?
Well, I think it's self-defeating.
You think alienating 45
to 50 primary, you're supposed to limit it to its members, to the members of the primary.
No, that doesn't make sense to me. So, okay, let me...
Isn't that how it's done?
Well, just because it's done that way doesn't mean it's right. But, okay, let's go back to the situation that, you know, the Democrats have three or four people running for the... We'll say, for the sake of this discussion, for the president. They have Biden and three other whoever that want to be the Democratic candidate for the general election. And the Republicans have six or eight. What did they have, 13 last time, whatever. They have all these people running for the president, but they go through the primary. So you have them. Now, there's these other people. They're called no party affiliates. They're called individuals. They're called Americans who are also running for office, But because they're not affiliated with those two parties, they don't count. So 45%+ of the American people don't count. Only this niche of whatever it is, because it's less than 50%, I'm sure, between the Democrats and Republicans, they're the only ones who count. If I choose not to be associated with either of those parties, because they're really the uniparty today, they're pretty much all the same thing. If I choose not to be part of those two parties, I don't have a right to vote. There's something sick about that to me. I don't think that's right. I think I should have a right to vote in the primary, where I could vote for whoever they put on as a Republican candidate, whoever they put on as a Democrat, or these third-party candidates that are out there, the Constitution Party, whoever those people be. Why do I not have a right to vote in that primary? Because there's no party affiliates who run for office too, but they don't. Well, I don't get to vote. I don't get it. How is that constitutional? Okay, well, but I do know.
I just feel like it doesn't make much sense to go to the trouble of creating a political party if non-members can be in it.
Well, I think you're missing my point. My point is we should all be allowed to vote in the primary. The private entities, once again, the Republican National Committee, the Democrat National Committee, the Constitution Party, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, all these parties are private entities. They are not public. They are private. I do not believe any private entity should control the ballot box. Call me crazy, but I don't think private entities should control our elections.
No, like you said, they should pay their own way to their own primary, have a system set up where their party members get to vote for whom they want to be in the general primary, and let it be done that way. I don't see why the state agencies have to oversee party rules. Party pretty much make up whatever rules it wants as a private entity that aren't per se illegal.
Exactly. And I think it should be considered, and this was the other part of the big question, John, if 45% to 50% of the American people say, I cannot stand these political parties, they're nothing but corrupt, evil organizations, I want nothing to do with them, but you're going to say I have to vote for them, or I have no vote. There's something wrong there. And that's where we are today. Either you vote for those two parties, or you're, as how many times I've been told over the years, oh, you're just wasting your vote. You're just wasting your vote. Voting for ethics or integrity is a waste.
Well, I think you're missing the point, and that is that everybody gets to have a vote in the final election, regardless of party.
But if you don't control who's in the primary controls who's in the general. So if you take away my right to help identify who's on that general ballot, then I don't have a vote. And we are down to about 2 minutes. We'll go over just a couple of minutes here just to kind of wrap this up. But anyway, so 50% of the people really don't have a vote.
I wanted to ask you if you're aware of something with Ron DeSantis as far as his ability to vote for either to run for either the presidency or the governorship, which he already ran for, and he is the governor.
If you're talking about his right to run for president while he's governor, as of right now, the current Florida law, which was changed several years back, if you're the governor of the state of Florida and you go to run for the presidency, the U.S. presidency, you must resign from the governorship. And I think it's totally valid.
You know, in all of the conversation about all this, I didn't hear anybody mention that till today.
Now it's been out there. Yeah, go ahead.
Unless he declares that he's going to run for president. He can't do that while he's governor.
Well, okay, and here's the thing, John. Right now, what the rumor, and I haven't gone out there to truly look about what the legislature is doing right now, but it was out there that the legislature was contemplating going out there and repealing the previous law that would allow him to stay governor and run for office. That's why I'm sure that's part of the reason why he hasn't made any announcements. I believe he's waiting to see, is he going to be allowed to continue to be governor while he runs for the office. Now, if they don't repeal it, which they should not be repealing law because there's somebody else in the governor's office. I mean, this is the ultimate of corrupting the process as well. If they don't change it and they leave it as is, DeSantis would have to say, well, I'm going to have to resign from being governor so I can run for office. And if I don't win the presidency, I won't be governor either because I will have already resigned. Is he willing to take that risk? If they don't vote to change the law, is he going to make the decision to stay as governor for his full term of 4 years, which is what he should do, in my opinion. He should do. That would be the scenario.
That would be the smart decision.
Correct.
I believe that would be the smarter decision.
Correct. I mean, that's my own take because I believe he and Trump should work together to save America, but he and Trump are going to fight each other to destroy America. Because that's what's going to happen. If these two guys fight each other, when they've both done so much to help us, they're just going to help. It's going to be a total reversal. They're going to destroy. So, I mean, and that's my own personal belief. I truly believe if these two guys do not form an alliance to save America together at the federal and state level, they will harm us both at the federal and state level. And I really don't understand DeSantis. People are brainwashing him and whatever. The whole thing is crazy. But they should be because right now as a leading governor, here he's going out to California. And what did I hear him say out in California? This was either, I guess it was earlier today or yesterday he was out there. Something about, well, Newsom keeps telling me all the problems we have in Florida, so I thought I should come out here and see what you guys are doing. And, of course, California's got so many problems. He said something to that effect, not an exact quote, but something to that effect. And so why is he out in California? He's out there because he's going to – everybody's anticipating him running for the presidency. But it comes all down to what happens in that legislature if they say, no, you cannot run and be governor at the same time. You can't. And there's a reason for that, and I don't know how many states have such a regulation, have such a law. But when you're running for president, you have time. You don't have time to do anything else. So you won't have time to run the state of Florida. Do you truly think he can run the state of Florida and run for president at the same time? No. No way. And he's really, to me, he's losing credibility in playing games by if he tries to do both. If he tries to flip from the governorship to the presidency against Trump right now, he will lose at both. And he will lose the good he could have done as a governor. My own take. So, anyway.
Which is, I think that's the reason for that law, so that they can't.
Correct. Charlie Crist. I think it was back in the days of Charlie Crist, because he was never around to do any of his real work, and there was no governor. And I think that was, I think it was back around that time when they passed this law saying, if you're going to run for president,
just how that happened. I do.
I don't remember all the details. Yeah. So go ahead and give us a quick update.
Charlie Crist let running for the Senate, a Senate opening, ruin his governorship.
Yeah.
And it was, he wanted that Senate job instead of the governor job, which he already had.
Yeah.
So it causes
problems.
And
it's not fair to the people. It's not fair to the people of the state either. Now, when it comes to Charlie Crist, we could have many stories about how he was not the best thing for Florida. And of course, we all know Charlie Crist is, to me, the perfect example of how corrupt and ridiculous these parties are, because he's running as he was a Democrat, then he was a Republican, then we lost it on the Republican side, then he goes as an independent. He just runs at whatever he thinks he can get. Has nothing to do with what he believes. depends on how he's running, however he thinks he can get elected. And that's the insanity of the parties, too, because the parties mean nothing. That's why we have a MAGA, I shouldn't say MAGA, have a magnificent MEGA, not MAGA, MEGA-sized uniparty, because the Democrats and Republicans are all pretty much the same anymore. There's a small minority of Republicans who truly adhere to the Constitution and to what we could call constitutional values. And then you have the McConnells
out
there.
I think the more predominant way you have to go about doing it is you have to, in most cases, resign the job you got before you run for the new one.
Well, that's what it should be in these key offices, but that's not the way it is. Let's see, in fact, the other example, the guy from Pennsylvania, he's the Senate president for the Pennsylvania State Senate, okay? That's what he is. He was running for the U.S. Senate, and because of all the garbage going on in Pennsylvania, he did not get it. Because Pennsylvania, whatever it is. He was running for something with Pennsylvania, and he did not get it, but he still remained the Senate president or whatever in the state legislature. He was running for governor, excuse me. He was running for governor of Pennsylvania. He ran for governor of Pennsylvania while he was still a Pennsylvania senator, and he didn't win the governorship, but he is still a senator today. So he did not have to resign his job. Now, when we talk presidency, that's, you know, is it okay on the other side, on the state level like that, where it's not quite the same challenge as when you're running for president and you have to cover the whole country, travel about the whole country? Is it okay? To me, I don't think so. I think it's kind of mixed on some of the stuff. If you're running for re-election, and at one point there was a law out there, I think, on some of the other stuff, where you can't run for some other office if you're there. There's definitely some of those laws out there, but they play games with them, and it depends on who's in office and who's running. You know, at what point, like Rubio, if Rubio, when he was running for president, he didn't make the presidency, but he was still a senator. He didn't lose a Senate position because he was running for president. And I can understand if you're running for re-election for Senate, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, you know, why would you lose your Senate position because you're running for re-election for it? However, if you're a senator and you're running for the presidency, are you going to be able to do both jobs? And you really can't. However, he was allowed to stay as a senator. He didn't have to resign for that. Anyway, it's kind of messy. But definitely when it comes to Florida law, governorship, and the presidency, he would have to resign, as it is today, if they don't play games with the law. And with that being said, we are at the end. We're actually a little bit over. Sarge, any final comments? Well, then John, too. Any final comments before we wrap it up? I'm going to play My Name is America to close out the show tonight. But let me go ahead and excellent conversation as usual. And so anyway, Sarge, any last final words of wisdom you'd like to share?
Well, it's kind of another thing that occurred to me about artificial intelligence. You know, and I think it's about, I think the concept and the knowledge of mortality kind of figures into it. Mm-hmm. There's a movie I kind of liked that came out, you know, about a couple of decades ago. Brad Pitt, he played Achilles in Troy. And there was one line I kind of remember from it. I'm going to paraphrase it if I got it right, but it went something like, the gods are envious of human beings because we're mortal. And any moment might be our last, so everything is more beautiful to us because we're eventually going to be doomed. And I think right there kind of sums up what it is about human sentience and self-awareness that a machine can probably never duplicate.
Exactly. Absolutely. There is no emotion. There is no no soul to a computer. Computer is just doing what it's told, and that's what they want to make us. They just want us to do what we're told. They don't want us to be human. They don't want us to have feelings. They don't want us to have emotions.
That's right.
No conscience. Excellent. Absolutely. Okay, and as always, thank you, Sarge, and we hope to hear from you next week when we do have Rosie the Rebel from California on the show next week. John, any last words you'd like to share before we wrap it up? And like I say, I'm going to close with My Name is America.
No, I can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in. And for those, again, who don't know John, John was out there helping me when I was running for the Orange County mayor. And we got to see a lot of stuff that was pretty slimy in Orange County government elections in Florida, Orange County, Florida, that is. So it was, but John has been there all the way and helped me out many times. So I appreciate that. And with that being said, let me see if I can get My Name is America. And this is a song I think Trump should also play. He can play God Bless the USA in the beginning of his rallies, but I think this is the one he should play in the end. So take a listen to this, and we will talk again next week. Please be good to each other. Please be Americans. And go around. Let the motto be take action. First off, get involved, take action. Contact about this World Health Organization, all these different things. We have got to let them know what we're thinking and what we're going to do because we're tired of it. But the thing is, be Americans and remind people, I love my country. It's my government I am afraid of. And I think the majority of people, in fact, I've had people telling me, because I have this on the back windshield of my car, they've been taking pictures of my windshield. And I know someone has posted it out there on Facebook. I haven't seen it on Facebook because I don't use Facebook. But you might see my car out there someplace with a message, I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. That is where we truly are today, and we have to change it. It's up to us. As Nathan said, you can depend on the veterans. Don't depend on Washington, D.C., and don't depend too much on your state legislature, but they're better than Washington, D.C. D.C. is not going to do it. So we have to be Americans, and God bless America, and please listen in. If we can get this volume going. There we go.
Born in the grid of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. Oh, when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger. And I'll rise up from the flames. And I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. My strength was not taken from others. Others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for. My respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds. Because my mind is down, because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me.
Okay, with that being said, good night, everyone. God bless America, and we will talk again next week. Thank you.